Good morning. It's good to be here. Right, we are going to start with a little short video clip. And I don't know, it might just bring back some memories for some of you. It might be right where you are at the moment. Let's just watch this and then we'll reflect together.
Yes.
When you were fired, did people gang up on you?
We've just been through this. I wasn't fired.
Yeah,
I...
but did they gang up on you?
Yeah, well, a bit, maybe. Has someone been ganging up on you?
Well, yes, because Molly said that Megan said that I was talking to Maisie about Katrina saying bad things about Catherine to Stacey.
Right.
Which isn't true, because I didn't say anything to Maisie. She's just making up to make me look bad to Molly.
Right.
And Megan told Tanya because... she wants to be friends with Tanya and Molly. And then they're
right.
All
mm-hmm.
on Megan's side, which isn't right. Do you get what I'm saying?
So you're cross with Megan?
No! Why aren't you listening? Then Katrina told Megan that she was a pig, and Megan told Miss. But then Katrina started telling everyone that it was my fault because of what I said to Maisie. But I didn't even say anything to Maisie. So now Tanya's telling everyone not to be my friend because I can't keep a secret, which is really, really, really unfair on me.
No, you're right, sweetheart. But you see, girls your age... Have you heard the word clique?
No.
No, well, a clique is like a little private gang, but the cliques keep on changing. So the best thing is not to let it bother you. You just got to... ignore it. Okay?
Do boys have cliques?
No, boys don't form cliques. They're too busy punching each other.
Okay, I don't know if that brought back any memories or anything, but just ignore it. Just ignore it. It'll go away, you know, just ignore it. Many of us could have used that phrase maybe at some point. Anything for a quiet life, you know, just let's just keep quiet, ignore, just to keep the peace. Yeah, just peaceful life. But I don't think that was the peace that Jesus was talking about in the original teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, on today's verse, when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I think Jesus was clear when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know, it wasn't blessed are those who love a bit of peace. Blessed are the peaceful, or even blessed are those who yearn for peace. You see, if we ignore things just to keep the peace, then we're actually just keeping the status quo. Nothing's changed. There is no real peace underneath. It's all as it was. The unease remains and can even fester, only to be brought to the surface again at a future conflict. Biblical peace, the peace that we're talking about, that Jesus was talking about, it faces the issues. It deals with them and seeks to conquer them. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is a call to action. A call to do, not just to be. You know, it reminded me of Eleanor Roosevelt and her work on civil rights. And she said this, "It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it." And Jesus calls us today, just like he did those first listeners on that mountain, he calls us to action, to make peace. But my goodness me, what a week to be standing here talking about peace. Goodness me, it's been an incredible few weeks, hasn't it? Nationally, our news are just full of leaders calling for peace, but my goodness, in so many different kind of ways. And I'm sure like you, as I've read about it or listened to the news, I've actually felt quite despondent and discouraged at the different situations, But I've also grasped just how relevant Jesus' teaching is today as it was all those years ago to those first listeners. We are called to action. So how are we going to do this? You know, I would say we start, as a peacemaker, we start by making peace with God. We only need to look at social media or maybe go to the library and discover, you know, a whole wealth of books, of articles, of apps, how to find inner peace, to be at peace with yourself. But actually, I would suggest that that's short-lived. You know, it doesn't deal with what's at the core of each one of us. And if we're honest, then it's almost like a daily strife, isn't it? You know, as humans, we can be split. We're so attracted by what is good, and yet we're so tempted by what is evil. There's that inner battle going on with us, that inner conflict, and it creates tension in each of us. We're not who we want to be, and we can feel shame. And yet, when we read these inner peace things, the world tells us to be proud, proud of who you are. You know, the only lasting source of genuine peace comes from our Maker. C.S. Lewis said this: God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it's not there. There is no such thing. So after he was resurrected, Jesus, he returned to his disciples and he said, "Peace be with you." And before that, before he went to his death, he was comforting them. And he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." You see, peace begins with Jesus. He's the author of peace, the Prince of Peace. On the cross, he made a way for peace between God and humans by removing all sin. This is how we can know real peace, by coming to God through Jesus. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 1. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Our inner strife of sin and lack of peace, it's been dealt with once and for all. And as we kneel before Jesus and we recognize that he took our sin when he went to that cross, do you know, our shame is just lifted. He bridged the gap. He made a way for us to our Father in heaven, the only route to inner peace. Do you know, this is so fundamental to peace. It's just so important. And I'm just going to pause here. And we're just going to pause and pray, actually, throughout this morning. But we're just going to pause and pray. And pray that each of us might know that inner peace. So, yeah, let's just pause. And I'll lead us as we pray. Father God, we want to thank you this morning that we stand, we sit in your presence. Thank you that you are here with each one of us. We are aware of the presence of you, Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. Thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to bear our sin. Thank you for the forgiveness that each one of us can receive when we come to you. And Lord, we want to do that this morning, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the umpteenth time. We thank you that we can come before you. And Lord Jesus, you have made a way for us to meet with our Father in heaven by taking us in. And so we lay that before you. Thank you for the gift of your peace. And we hear those words spoken to each one of us. As he takes us in, he says, my peace I give you. And we pray that each one of us would take hold of that peace that you give through your dying and rising. Thank you for that assurance of inner peace. We pray that that would be with each person here and as we go from here, that we would know that deep within, that peace that comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. May we know that inner peace from God. We're called to action. We make that peace with God, but we're called to make peace with others. Do you know, as I did this, I was reminded of what I think has almost become quite an iconic image. And that's of King George VI and the Queen during the Second World War, when all the bombings, especially in London, and they would go and visit and they'd walk in amongst the rubble and meet with people. And then I was thinking, I haven't got a photo actually, but I was thinking about the late Queen Elizabeth during those times of COVID, and she would speak with people digitally to hear how things were going for them. And then there's King Charles as he comforts those who are suffering similarly to him with cancer. And then Prince William as he comes alongside some of the homeless, many, many different people. And you think, well, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, do you know, it runs in the family. They're drawn to the need to express condolences and comfort. It's part of being a working royal. I guess you could say it's the family business. And do you know, as Christians, we're called into the family business. Only it's a different family business. Do you remember our verse? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You see, that call to action to make peace, as we do that, we bear the family likeness. We seek to bring about the values of God's kingdom here on earth. We're engaged in the work of God. We are God's children. We're called to be people who would bridge the gulf. Heal the breaches, wherever it is possible. Just as Jesus has done before us. I love this verse. It's from Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Do you know this verse from Isaiah? It looked forward, it anticipated Jesus and who brought peace, who brought salvation. But I think it's true also for us as we walk in Jesus' footsteps and as we share Jesus' message of forgiveness and peace with God. We're enabling people to come to a believing faith in God. What an amazing thing to be able to do. Yeah, but I also think it's possible to be a peacemaker in a broader sense, you know, more than sharing a message of salvation. Maybe within our families, within our workplaces, within church, within our town, our country, even internationally, we're called to action, to lessen tension, to seek to find solutions, to ensure that communications are understood. These are the daily actions of a peacemaker. Peace within our families, within our marriages. Do you know, if we're bringers of good news, then that's got to affect what we say and how we say it, hasn't it? Remember, we're called to peace, not just ignore it. Anything for a quiet life, bit of peace and quiet. We're called to action. And you know, it sometimes means that we have to face difficult situations and have those difficult, tricky, I don't know, even painful conversations sometimes. Maybe when you're tired, when you get home from work and you're really shattered, or you've had the children all day and been pulled in all directions, whatever it is for you. You know, tension, it can happen so quickly and easily, can't it? Peace takes time and effort. A short, snappy answer can come more easily than a thought-through, peacemaking conversation. I wonder, what does it mean to be a peacemaker when you're sending emails? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, I don't know, one for work, we seem to spend our lives doing them at work, or maybe even ones for church, different emails or different messages that you send. So easy, isn't it, to type an email, out of frustration, send, and then the damage is done. Yeah. Are we making peace? Or are we aggravating a situation that needed prayer and a thoughtful conversation? I always think it's a good idea if you write an email out of frustration, don't press send, just press pause in yourself. And if you can, just get someone to read it through. Is that all right? And if you can't do that, at the very least, you read it out loud. Is that the right tone? Is that the tone you want? You know, does it follow in the family likeness? Would we be hearing God saying, that's my child? I've been blessed and I've been challenged by something in the prayer app, Lectio 365. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago. And there was a prayer in there. And Jim, we're going to pause again. And I'm going to pray this prayer. It's a wonderful prayer, seeking for God's values to become our values in our everyday lives, in our work lives, in our family lives, in all that we are. So let's just pause. And you can look at those words, or you can close your eyes and just really think about it. Let's pause and pray. God of every blessing, as we meditate on your words, would you prune my priorities. Yeah, would you refine my character? And would you realign my desires? Lord, would you shape our lives so that we more clearly resemble you, our King, and we more sincerely live for your kingdom? We pray that in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. That we would live the values of God's kingdom. You know, as I said earlier on, as that call for peace, it's filled the news this week, hasn't it? It's filled, as I've read about, I was reading about the impact of the conflict in Sudan. And you know, in all honesty, I had to stop because I just felt sick with the horrors of what I was reading. It's so awful. We just start to read or we watch and we learn of strife and conflict and the horrors of violence. Powerful words of revenge are given airspace, you know, belittling, mocking. It's given prominence in the news. And I'm challenged, what is it as Christians that we are doing to make peace on a local, on a national, and on an international scale? So we can pray, but actually I ask myself, am I doing that? Am I really doing that? When Andrew and I were first married, in the village where we lived, there was this wonderful lady. She was a retired missionary. And every day she would buy a specific newspaper because she said it gave the best international news. And then that enabled her to pray with more knowledge and insight. She was an incredible woman. I'm really challenged. The number of times I read or I watch the news and I make some exclamation of how awful it is, and then I just get on with my life. Let's be alert, shall we, to the times when God prompts us to do more, to pause and to pray. I think because I've been preparing for this, I've been doing that more, and I've been prompted, and, you know, I've been praying for Zelensky, for Putin, for God's blessing, for peace. I've been praying for Trump. I've been praying for other situations, for DRC. My political knowledge isn't great, but I can pray for peace. We can all do that. Maybe God is prompting you, maybe just to do more than that, though. Maybe to find out a bit more information and then to contact people who can change things. Maybe your MP. Maybe to support different charities who are working for peace. They're out there on the front line where we can't be. And we can support them and pray for them. We're going to pause again. And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray now for global peace. I've asked Tim, who's going to come up and join us now, and he's going to lead us in our prayers. Remember, this matters. We've been called to action. So let's pray for peace. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we look at a situation that in our human eyes is just enormous. We consider the conflicts in Gaza and Israel, in Ukraine and in the DRC, and the enormity of it all can feel overwhelming. But Father, what we can do is we can come before you and we can pray. Because there is power in prayer, there is power in the name of Jesus, and we know that you move in power. So, Father God, we come before you this morning and we lay all this at your feet. And Father God, we just ask you to come and move in power in these places. Father, do the things that we cannot humanly do. God, we are asking for nothing short of miraculous works here, Lord, for you to reach down and change these situations. Father God, we ask for ceasefires, lasting ceasefires, that will allow humanitarian aid to take place and for just a respite for those that are constantly having to deal with these situations. Father God, we ask for a lasting peace as well, for things to be worked out in a just way, Lord, a just peace. And Father God, we also ask for justice for those who have been oppressed and those who have been wronged, and those who have had much taken away from them, Lord. Father, we know that you are a just God. So we ask, Lord, we ask for justice to be done in these situations. And Father God, we also bring before you the elected leaders that will be having these conversations and will be in the rooms together and trying to work out what are, in some places, very complicated situations. Father God, we may not agree with everything that these people do. We may not like these people, but Father, you call us to pray for our elected leaders. So Father, we do. We lift them before you today. Father, we pray for wisdom. God, that you would give them your wisdom to make the tough decisions. We pray for understanding, that they would be looking at things from everybody's point of view. And Father, above all else, we pray for compassion. God, may there be compassion in these people's hearts as they deal with the lives of just everyday people, people who didn't ask for these conflicts, but it's affected them nonetheless. So God, we pray for them in this time. And God, finally, we just pray for us as well. Help us not to become numb to these situations. You know, when things tend to go on and on for a long time, it can be hard to feel the same about them. But God, help us not to get numb. I pray that you would give us your heart for these situations, that you would stir up in us a justifiable anger, Lord, because there are people here who do not deserve the things that have happened. So God, stir up a justifiable anger in us that leads us to action, Lord. And Father God, would you show us the ways in which we can make a difference, the ways in which we can do something, whether it is just to pray, whether it is to give money, whether it is just how we engage in conversations about these things with other people. Father God, give us your heart for these situations and help us to not let these things be forgotten. Keep it in our hearts and keep it in our minds. And Father God, we do. We just want to continue. Remind us to continually come back to you and bring these things to you. Because Father God, you are the one who can bring lasting change. And we ask that in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Tim. Yeah, amen. Amen. So finally, how can we be peacemakers? Do you know, I would say, let's make peace and not trouble. Each week as we've been looking at these Beatitudes, we've looked further on in Jesus' teaching and to the part where each blessing is expanded, where Jesus kind of explains things a little bit more. And today's expansion is verses 21 to 26, and it deals with the anger that can dwell within each one of us. So I'm just going to read that now. It says this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taken you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. And the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. William Barclay, in his study on this passage, he talks about people who are always storm centers of trouble, bitterness, and strife. Whoa. They're troublemakers rather than peacemakers. Listen, we want to make peace. Not trouble. Paul tells us in Colossians 3 to put off all anger, wrath, malice, and slander. Get rid of it. If our hearts and heads are full of these things, then we're not going to become peacemakers, are we? Jesus took a traditional accepted teaching, you shall not murder, and he dug a little deeper, and he shines a light into each of our hearts. Whilst murder, I hope, doesn't, come into most of our minds, I hope not, all of us have the potential to hold on to anger, you know, allowing it to brood, refusing to forget, maybe even feeding it with our own justifications. And then it's a small step to seek revenge. You know, that belittling comment, the gossip that's malicious. What was small has been nurtured and developed and can in some devastating situations grow. When two people just have a quarrel and then it becomes a family feud over generations. Oh, it's so sad, so sad. What was a misunderstanding at work, it's grown and grown, and eventually someone has to leave. Jesus' teaching, it has an urgency about it. Did you hear that? You know, this matters. Don't come to God in worship until you've put it right, whether that be with your enemy or your family. Sort trouble out in good time before it piles up, you know, before it takes hold and makes home in your heart. I love our verse for the year. It's great. You are the light of the world. But I am so challenged by something I read. Are we generating more heat than light? For let's make peace, not trouble. Reminded of that wonderful proverb, a soft answer turns away wrath. There's a humility, isn't there, in accepting that we're wrong. A beautiful humility in seeking peace. It was my fault. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Immediate action. It's so powerful. It's effective. Let's be peacemakers. Let's make peace with God. Let's make peace with others. whether that's our family, our friends, locally, nationally, globally. And let's make peace and not trouble. It's our calling as followers of Jesus. We have a responsibility to be reconciled to others. God is the author of peace and reconciliation. And he's called us to do the same. These verses are from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Many of you will know, I have the privilege of working in a Church of England primary school, and we center everything we do around Christian values. It's a wonderful thing. And last half term, the Christian value that we were focusing on was reconciliation. And every classroom has a reflection table, and on it there are objects or things that will help the children and the adults remember that value and hopefully to live it out, you know, in their daily lives. And one of the objects from last term was a zip. Okay, this was to do with reconciliation. And it stuck with me, and it's a really good prompt, and it's become a nudge to pray. And, you know, where there is conflict, we separate, don't we? A bit like a zip. We're separated. And at school, we encourage the children to think about the people that they want to bring back together, whether that's other people or whether actually that's themselves and they need to put something right with someone else and how they can be a peacemaker. And so we encourage them to take a zip from the table and, excuse me, as they took it, they had an opportunity to zip it up and as they did so, to say a quiet prayer. Do you know what? Maybe we could do that. Maybe this week, as you zip up your coat or your bag and your rucksack, whatever it is, maybe it could be a reminder. Just a quick, short prayer. Maybe as you zip up that bag, you commit to pray internationally for Russia, for Ukraine, for DRC, for those many countries that you hold, that you know about. Or maybe something more personal, something within your family or something at work. Let's be peacemakers and let's pray. Yeah. I'm going to ask the band to come on up and I'm going to pray and then they're going to lead us in a song as we take some time to reflect on all that we've been thinking on this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Yeah, Father God, we want to be peacemakers. Lord, we stand together this morning and we commit ourselves to live for you, to live for your kingdom values, to take hold of that call to action and to bring about peace. And yet, Lord, we can't do it without you. So we pray that you would come and fill each one of us today with your Holy Spirit. Equip us that we might be those peacemakers. Lord, would you open our eyes to what's around us? Prompt each one of us throughout our day as to when we can be peacemakers. When you want us to pray, when you want us to speak. And may the peace that you give to us, Lord Jesus, the peace that flows through each one of us, may it flow through us and out to those that we meet and those that we pray for. Lord, we pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.